Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Uptime Community. We're so glad that you could join us here live today. Today's date is March 26th in the year of our Lord, 2024. My name is Michael Pels, and if you're new here, we are a community of believers that are actively studying the Bible and looking forward to the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We want to make this an interactive forum, so we do welcome your questions and comments today. And if you don't know who Jesus is, we do encourage you to get to know him today. The bad news is that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of this, we have a death sentence weighing upon us. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we believe in him, the gospel of our salvation and his shed blood, his atoning blood that purchased us, we too can have eternal life. And the gospel is this: moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which you also ye have received, and where ye stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And when we have believed from our hearts, not our minds, but our hearts, in his finished work, in his shed blood, the Holy Spirit will quicken us and transform us from the inside out, and we will have a new heart with new desires and earnestly desire to live for the Lord. And it will bring a new chapter in your life, and God will be with you until we are with him face to face at the rapture. Today, Brother Bob Barber is not going to be able to join us. He is away with his family. Brother Greg is with his wife, Shannon, with her eye surgery. So we do ask that you please pray for them, for Bob Barber's safe travels, and for Shannon's eye surgery, and Greg. That would be absolutely fantastic, and we would appreciate that here. Today, the verse of the day is from Philippians 1:29, and I particularly like this verse. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And as a born-again believer, you will understand this verse in a new depth that you have never realized before. But we're going to go ahead and bring back the panelists. We have Brother Bob Hagen and Shane and John the Watchdog. But I'm going to go ahead and start with the elder and see how his day has been. How have you been, Brother Bob?
Well, you're taking a page out of Halkman's book, huh?
Yes, sir.
It's been pretty good today. We were supposed to get a big snowstorm, and we ended up getting hardly anything at all up here, which is fine, you know. Kind of excited about tonight, you know. Anytime we get together and start sharing the word, we kind of, in a lot of ways, we never know what direction the Lord is going to take us in, but he usually knows what he's doing. And,
amen.
I want to send a, shout out to Kevin Halkman.
Yes.
We've missed having Kevin on here for quite a while now, and I don't know if he's tuning in or if he's watching at a later date, but we think about you often, man. We love you, and hope you're doing well.
Amen. I as well. Shout out to Kevin. I love you, brother. You always brought such a joyful, lighthearted, kind spirit to the panel, and I just absolutely long for your return. But hey, if we go up in the rapture first, that's also just as amazing.
And I don't have anybody to pick on when he's not here.
Yeah, and our time is short. I even brought this stunning visual aid to be able to demonstrate how short the time is. And so, Brother John, how are you doing, man? And look how the visual aid demonstrates our time getting towards the rapture is very soon.
Well, I'm doing fine. Amen. And praise the God of my salvation, because we do have a good study group. We're going through a lot of scriptures, and we cover a lot of topics. Right now, we're in 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3.
Ooh.
And we went through the those verses that were a little bit touchy for some, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the falling away, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, which are the difference and stuff. So we went through that. And fortunately, we went through, we got it through. And now it's a blessing. Everybody understand. We go through that verse by verse. King James only, of course. If you want to put my my full email address, the watchdog there.
Yeah, sure will. Just one second.
I got. If anybody wants here. to join the group, you just have to throw me an email. I will send you the link, and you can join us. We're fully King James only, rightly dividing the word of truth. So our main verse is 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, so we're about this, and that's what we're looking into. And it was a great week so far, last week and this week, and we keep on going. We even have what we call unofficial Bible study at night. We just gathered like this, and we study some other stuff. We don't touch what we're learning during the day, so everybody's at the same pace. But at night, we do have a little gathering for Q&A, stuff like that, but it's all about the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. That is absolutely awesome. I love what you're doing there, and it's so commendable because we really should strive to seek little groups. And there's actually a church that's sort of in my area, and they do something very unique that I don't see a lot of people do. And it's kind of what you're doing, Brother John. And they're having not discipleships, but it's like a little home project. And it's basically a discipleship program. So after people are born again, they set them up, and you can register your own house as a church, so to speak, and have groups and gatherings, just like the early days of the church. Yeah. And I find that like really awesome. And what you're doing almost reminds me kind of like a virtual way for people to do that, because some people just can't leave the home. You know, some people have physical ailments and inabilities to do that. But so providing those services and the love of the Lord that, man, I just love what you're doing. But
yeah, they called those cell groups back in the day.
That's what it was cell done groups. During the time of Jesus, too. During the time of Paul, they had a house teaching.
Sure. Yeah, the house. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And if you will put the link there, Brother John, to your event or your studies, I would happily put it up. But I am not finding it in the banners right
now. Okay. So, do you have my full email address? The Watchdogs? Okay, I'll put it there.
So, yeah, if you put that there, I will absolutely
put
it up for you. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and bring Shane in. How you doing, Brother Shane?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, pretty good. How's your week? Been pretty busy with the network?
Yeah. A little busy, just working on a course that I have. I finished it over the weekend, so I'm slowly rolling it out to a few people. And I might do something like what John's doing. Might do it on Zoom because I've been doing it also on StreamYard. So I might do it on Zoom and just open it up a little bit to like different portions of it to the public kind of thing, because some of it is actually more private kind of thing. So if you're going deep, you don't want anybody just jumping in and then jumping out and going, I'm post-trip, guys. Hey, I had a dream or whatever it is. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to keep it a little private.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, that's what we established at the beginning, right? For our group.
Yeah.
I'm not the teacher. I'm not the preacher. I'm only the watchdog who shared the word of God. Now, everybody is allowed to talk. We don't have the raising hand, but please, everybody must respect who talks, right?
So for sure.
We just listen to this.
Absolutely.
Yes.
They were even listening to me the other day.
We must be in order.
Order. Decent.
Yes, order.
Yeah.
Good. And
that's pretty much it.
Everyone. That is amazing, though. I do love what you're doing over there. I tune in constantly. I know I don't leave a lot of comments, but I am a silent lurker on your channel. Be assured, I am there.
He's always around.
Brother, yep. So, yeah, I'm just kidding. Brother John, his contact information is on the screen now. His email, I believe there are, it is the watchdog, and it's 77s@gmail.com. And if you're interested in joining him, just fire him off an email, and he'll get back with you as soon as he's able to. And I'm sure he would be very happy to receive you.
And John always answers your emails too, so don't think he's.
Oh yes. I look at everything. Yes. People have the time to text me or to send me an email. I take the time to answer. That's the minimum of respect.
Hey, we're almost running out of time there, Pels.
Yeah. Our time is running short. I don't know if this is the end of the episode. No, I was kidding. But remember me, Lord, for my frame is as dust. And that's what this reminds me of now. As
Michael,
how short our life is.
Yeah. Michael, before we get going, why don't you tell us about your event that you just had?
Oh, yeah. That would be a fantastic way to talk about our week here at Centurions of Faith / Feed My Sheep today. And we had a really awesome event. But real quick, before I touch on that, I want to let you guys know that I see a lot of people asking about Brother Bob Barber. He is away with his family right now. And we mentioned that at the very beginning. But please do keep him in your prayers for traveling mercies because, you know, let's face it, it's pretty precarious on the roads these days. I mean, with the traffic has exponentially increased in the United States as we've had this crisis at the border. So everyone keep him and his family in your prayers. And also, again, Greg is not with us because his wife is having her surgery. So please, please, please keep her wrapped up tight in prayer. And I will absolutely love to show you guys what was going down here in the sticks of Indiana. And how we were trying to do our best to further the gospel here, but we took a different approach than what sometimes we do and have done in the past. So on the screen, I have some images, and it was so much fun, guys. So we started seeing a lot of things and channels like the Watchmen and all this. The drag queen story time and things of that nature. And I felt like the Lord really pressed it upon my heart. Hey, do something with the children. And that was a really big impression. And I talked with my wife and she thought it was a fantastic idea too. Obviously the Lord has the best ideas. And if the Lord's in it, it's always amazing and it will always turn out great. I thank every one of you out there for all your prayers. I absolutely know that your prayers were answered in an awesome way. So just the other day, I'm working on editing all this, guys, into a video. So stay tuned on Centurions of Faith for the full-length video of this event. But we were able to get an awesome setup of we had a bounce house there. We had food, drinks. We had Bibles. We had the action Bibles, as if you can see down there in the bottom right. Let me see if I can't zoom in. It was so much fun. And the reason why we had King James Bibles here, but the ones that I wanted to really try to give the children were the Action Bibles because it's something very colorful. It was by a former DC Marvel comic artist who made this Bible. He illustrated the entire Bible out. And I have found an amazing success with children in this Bible, and I have actually purchased it for myself. That's the Bible I was able to introduce to my daughter in a visual way, because when you're young, those visual things really matter. The visual learning, that aid, just like the hourglass here, really helps. And of course, we do have our Bibles. So they were, I mean, I've never seen an event where every person took a Bible. And you know, we've done tons of events with Feed My Sheep today in our ministry, and this is the very first one where they actually took all the Bibles. We had a community center, which was amazing, and we were actually given this building to use for free, and that was an amazing gift, another blessing from the Lord. And while we were actually out there doing that, there was a gentleman who stopped by, and it was really awesome. And he shared his information with me. I know you can't see it, it's kind of, but he's from a Baptist church, and he also offered 2 hours of free snow cone time to the entire community. So networking with churches, you know, in the area has been really awesome as far as those kind of things. And then I went out and we set up the cones for relay races, tug of war, cornhole, egg races. It was fun to be able to teach the children about Jesus and what he can do and has done already for us. But also to see the joy of them was something totally unique, and that childlike faith. It was just so refreshing in a world of just debauchery and again, those like drag queen story time. This was such a refreshing way to reach the children. And I was super excited to be able to do that, to be the vessel that God used to reach them with the gospel. And it was so awesome to be able to talk to them about not only the love of God, but how we can be free from sin and free from drugs and addictions. And I know some people would be like, oh, that's kind of a heavy topic with a child. But Dare to Care is a program in our area that policemen go around and do the exact same thing. And the younger teenagers and preteens there, they were, as soon as I brought up what God and how God delivered me from drugs and addiction, their eyes just lit up in like saucers, and they were just fixed on me. And I could tell that this was already something that they were being introduced to in their schools. And so to be able to provide them with an answer of how to be free, how to stand up to temptation and bullying, it was just such a fantastic. And I love that girl in the wheelchair. She was such an angel. She was nonverbal, but she had a lot of heart, needless to say. And it was just a really awesome time to have with the children and spreading the gospel. But I'm so happy to be able to do this, and I can't wait for you guys to join me and watching the episode about it to show you what actually takes place when you donate to Feed My Sheep today. These are real lives and people that are really being affected. And you know, when I was growing up as a young man, I used to think that organizations were there to just, you know, take people's money. But Feed My Sheep today is the most real blessed ministry that I've ever had the privilege of being a part of. The impact that it's had in my community alone is staggering. And to be the person that God has used to do this is the most humbling thing you could ever imagine going through. And I just thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm so grateful for that.
Brother Michael?
Yeah, that was the event. There's crazy me.
I just have a quick question for you, Brother Michael.
Sure.
That Bible you were giving away, do you have a copy to show us and see if people can get it? And maybe maybe instead of my email, put where we can send stuff and money and the sheet, the address. There may be some people, because in the chat, some people are wondering right now. So
Okay, yeah, I absolutely will.
If you have the Bible to show it to us, what the money served for, and also if you could switch my address for, because people have seen it now, and who is, what's the best way to reach you with money and whatever you need there from.
To be able to reach us and to help us, and you know, we are under Feed My Sheep today, so the best way you could help me is by helping the ministry as a whole, right? So to be able to go to, I'll put it on the screen now.
Yes.
So you can find out exactly where to go. This is where you can go. It's www.feedmysheeptoday.org. You can go there. You can do one-time donations. It doesn't have to be something that's, you know, every single time or every single day. So you can absolutely do that. And you can also set up monthly and have
monthly sustainer.
Exactly, a monthly sustainer. Yeah. So if you had, like, instead of Netflix and say the Lord's removing that part of your life and you wanted to redeem the time, essentially, you could redirect that to Feed My Sheep Today. That would be an awesome way to support not only pastors around the world, but outreaches. You know, they provide blankets, food, transportation, medical assistance. It's just a vast, vast network of outreach, and the Lord has been so awesome to do this. And I'm right now sharing the Action Bible. You'll see that on the screen. Now, this is a Action Bible is at Walmart, and you can get it any place. You can get it at you can get it through Amazon. That's actually where we got it from. But as you see, the illustrations in it are absolutely just beautiful. Okay.
That's what I wanted to see.
Yeah, and it's so cool. I mean, I absolutely, the stories in it. And again, this is the Bible I introduced my daughter to before going to a physical, you know, King James Bible, because it allowed her to see it. So when we moved over to just script on the page, the images were already coming to life in her mind, and it gave her a place of understanding. And the kids love it. So if you're trying to reach a child and you don't know how to do it, this is a great place to start. It really is. I've never seen it fail. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing this.
Yeah. When you look into, you know, when you go to feedmysheeptoday.org, spend a little bit of time and checking out, about us. Spend a little bit of time reading about what what the Lord put on Bob's heart when he started. And I know Bob very well, and he's not building a mansion in Nashville with the money. The money is going to help people, the missionaries, and supplying them with food and clothing for the people, and also Bibles. You can get it anywhere in the world. You can have a Bible sent to you for nothing. And I'll tell you what, you won't find another ministry that does that. He's genuine. He's not blowing smoke when he says these things. And I'm thankful to help out in the way that we can. And I'm 100% behind what you're doing. That's why I wanted you to talk about tonight, because you know, we get Bob rolling on Feed My Sheep, you know, and he'll be on there for an hour and a half talking about it. But that's just because he's so excited about it.
Passionate. Yes, exactly.
I've seen some email, some text going by now in the chat, say, oh, they're asking for money, stuff like this. Listen, if you do read your Bible, your King James, and you understand what Jesus said, what does Jesus teach on the children? What does he say about the children? Should we take care of them or just go by? And no, that's what they're doing. They're doing something for the children.
Yeah. Okay. And I also want to add something. And if you are where I was just, you know, a little over a year now ago, I was homeless, and I was homeless for almost 5 years. And it's not because I didn't want to work. I've had a plethora of medical problems, and it's been very difficult for me and my family. But God had provided during that time. But during that time, I really wanted to help. And you may be in that situation where, hey, I don't even have $10 to give, because that means my children can't eat. I totally understand that. And, you know, in those situations, we have our time, right? So I would take opportunities. I took a lady's trash can to the curb for almost 9 months straight before she finally ran into me to thank me, and that gave me an opportunity to share the gospel with her. So these are just things that you can do. You know, help someone in the summertime, an elderly person, cut their lawn because, you know, you see them out there struggling to cut the grass. And if you're capable, cut that grass. If you can take someone's trash out, you know, there's so many things you can do for some. Make a sandwich for someone who doesn't have food, that's been sitting under the overpass. You know, there's so many things that we can do that cost either nothing, like giving the gospel or very little time and effort, that is amazing ways that you can reach someone. There's nothing more that shows, hey, I love you, like doing things for someone like that.
And another thing is when we talk about these different organizations, if you will, and I know Bob would agree with this, you know, when he comes on here and he'll be sharing about what's going on and around the different countries of the world, which the ones that he can share about now, there's some that he can't talk about. Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
But it does take funds to operate a ministry like that. And he'll always say, whatever God puts on your heart, which is the way you do it. Okay. Amen. Every man as he purposes in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, the word cheerful means hilarious. That means you're, I can give. Wow. That's what it is. The word is hilarious. Amen. Hilario. It's really cool. You know, so you give and you're laughing and you're blessed and happy because you're helping some. You may never meet these people in this life, but someday, you know, they're, hey, you know, it was because what you did that I got saved. That'd be kind of neat to have somebody. You know, anyway.
Did you know that the Feed My Sheep actually has a YouTube channel? I don't think most people realize this. Brother Bob has a channel made for Feed My Sheep Today. And I can tell much people don't know about it because it only has 8,700 subs. But if you want to see what's even more of what's going on with the ministry, with Feed My Sheep Today, go to the YouTube channel. There's plenty of videos there and material that you can see the action that's being put forth and the fruit of the ministry. And again, yeah, you get from your heart, guys. And I can see already people, you know, they get upset when money's brought up. And my intention is not to make you upset or to offend you in any way. These are just things that, yeah, we know, you know our hearts. I know your hearts, guys. And it's just if you're able, you know, if you're able and you want and you want to make a difference and you're not good at speaking or you're physically handicapped yet you can do something like that. That's what we're talking about. You know, those are the things and the situations. But always
Brother Michael, before we go further, I shared the screen there. That's the verse of the day. You didn't bring it on today, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the beginning.
At the very beginning.
Yep. You might not have been here.
John's perplexed.
No, listen. I'm in Newfoundland. We do have a time lapse. Okay. I must have missed that part.
That's okay.
Hey, I would... My monotone voice, I'm sure many people miss many things.
My people, people from the study group must be mocking me right now.
That's right.
And I know one especially that, I am so retarding there, so.
They're looking for ways to get back at you, Watchdog.
They will tomorrow. I'm going to hear something for sure. I'm sorry, it went completely off my scanner there. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But all this being put aside real quick, how about the eclipse? Brother Shane was showing us a video earlier that was really interesting.
What eclipse? What eclipse? There's an eclipse?
I think one in April.
Okay, check this out. This is pretty cool. Check this out. We'll talk about this while it's playing.
Yeah, and can you see? You know, one. I know we can. Well, it's playing, Michael, you know, it's been. You talk about how you've as we travel across the country here, watching this. You were talking about being homeless and the difficulties you went through.
Yeah,
you know, one of the great things about God is He's always faithful.
Amen.
And He knew that you were going to be faithful too. And, you know, He took care of you guys and He's been taking care of you guys and He's given you this opportunity because you have that heart of service. That's what you want to do. And you, when you do these things, you know, God adds the increase, you probably didn't think that many kids would come. I don't know how you feel about
actually,
that.
Yeah, but it was wild, dude, because the first 10 minutes, because we opened at noon, and all you could do is hope and pray. You know, we printed out 80 flyers. We put it out word to mouth everywhere. And at 10 minutes after noon, there was no one there. And I was like, well, this is either going to be a great success or this is going to be a horrible failure. And we had prayed about it, and just, you know, about 12:20, about 20 after we opened up, it was like the Red Sea had parted and the children started coming. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord for allowing this to happen.
Well, you've been, you know, you guys were, when you first had the idea to do it, you know, you and I were talking about it at one point, you know, you said just to pray that you had a really nice weather day, and you had a day, you had a number 10 day.
Yes.
And then after everything was over, you were telling me when you got home, then it rained.
Yeah. God held back the rain. So, absolutely. And I really believe that. And, there was, God has, he is good, guys. And, when we believe and ask him, and he can move mountains, and we asked the Lord, because there was, it had been raining almost every day. And then the day before it didn't rain, and they were calling for like 80% rain. And we were like, God, please, this would ruin every outdoor event that we have planned. Like, I don't know if we can even get the bouncy house, the egg races, the tug of war. You know, kids like getting dirty, but I'm sure their parents would probably be pretty upset. So that's something you got to factor in too. And then the risk of injury goes up in the rain. So then that's something I'm responsible for too. So I was like, Lord, please, please don't let this rain. And,
hey, John, this
sure
is heading toward your
it was
house,
beautiful
isn't it?
Weather.
John, this is heading toward your neck of the woods, isn't it?
Oh,
this eclipse.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, Maine, and it's going to go through the water, and then it's going to reach the island of Newfoundland. And
Nova Scotia.
Keep going.
Does any of you guys live in Nova Scotia?
No. No.
I want
right
to go there.
Newfoundland and Labrador.
So beautiful.
That's my home. Right
there's
there.
Your house. There's
right
your house.
St. John's.
I just saw your
right
house.
Right there.
Oh, man.
He's waving.
Yeah. That. Yeah, there's John.
Yes.
That looks so beautiful. You guys, your country is beautiful.
Yes, we have it.
I absolutely
want to. We have the same amount of moose than the people. 225,000.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Lots
of
moose.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love
hey,
it there. That
I want to get your guys' opinions on this thing. I know that we're, you know, we want to keep it on the word as much as we can. But
yes,
sure.
This event,
yes,
this eclipse, and the towns it's going over, and it's even going over a place called Rapture, and that's in the state of Indiana.
Indiana,
right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Correct.
And
correct.
What do you? How do you guys? I'm really thinking that this is going to be something that, you know, this is going up on the fault. It's following the fault line, isn't it?
The New
Madrid fault.
New Madrid. Yeah.
So if something shakes loose on that, they say that the middle of the country would be an ocean.
Yep,
man.
Two hundred mile wide, 300 mile wide. Mississippi River would be GONE.
Yeah, there's actually a gap right underneath. Like there's almost like a pocket. So if there was a little bit of an earthquake or something, this whole area would just go.
Well, it's like in California, you got San Andreas Fault, you got the Hayward Fault, you got the you have that what's called the Ring of Fire that goes down the coast, starting up. It goes up. Around Japan, up, you know, Siberia, and then along Alaska, and then down the west coast of the United States, and it goes down into Central America too. And in fact, they had an earthquake in Alaska many, many years ago that where the bay dropped like 25 feet. It just dropped.
Wow.
Forgot what year it was, but it was like a 8.3, 8.4, something like that. And whoo, man.
Wow,
so
that is nuts.
not to scare anybody, well, but you know, this is interesting. Yeah, that this should happen, and it's all you know, dates mean stuff, don't they, Shane?
Yeah, it also happened once before. That's the interesting thing. Back in 1811, 1812, there was along the Madrid, and a bunch of states were affected because of that. And if it happens again because of the population, yeah, and then you also got the Appalachian Mountains to the east as well. So it's almost like where this solar eclipse is going is right in between.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, like, let's just say it has nothing to do with the eclipse. If somebody decided, some illegal entity, government, whatever, decided to trip something in a certain area, it wouldn't take much to upend some of these boulders and all this kind of stuff and cause, you know, serious damage. So,
yeah,
just kind of interesting.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that's falling down lately. And I'm not even going to go there because we might end up getting in trouble. But
yeah, for sure.
I was watching that today quite a few times. And, you know, the thought occurred to me, there may have been some other things involved there. But, you know, the worst thing was that those six guys that were heading for their construction job at 1:30 in the morning ended up at the bottom of the river up there in Baltimore. Yeah. And they haven't found them yet. So that's something we can definitely pray for the families of those guys. You know, there were six of them from what I understand. And
is that the bridge you're talking
about? Yeah. It went right. When the barge hit it,
It's a Baltimore. I thought it was New York, though. Baltimore.
No, it was Baltimore, Maryland. It's the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Okay.
Ended up in the drink. And
that's an old bridge, right?
The time that it happened, if it had happened, being the commute time up there, if it had happened 4 hours later, if it had happened at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, that whole bridge would have been packed with cars, and you're looking at hundreds of people could have died.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. It's bad enough what happened, but
eight are missing still tonight.
Eight. Okay. But you can imagine, John, if they had 300 or 400 cars on that bridge when that thing hit.
So was it because of wind, or did they say what the problem was? Or
the ship ran out of power.
Yeah, the ship lost power.
He picked his switch for his light and everything, tried to warn people, but he was drifting so fast. They did drop both anchors, but still he was too fast.
Too heavy, and two
pilots from Baltimore were inside. Yeah. So they knew what they were doing, but at one point they lost control. And the ship hit the pillar, and the whole thing. You know, when you try to stretch it forward like this, both ends are unplugged from the real portion of the concrete, and everything just collapsed like a
house. Well, John, yeah. I think those container vessels hold between, I don't know, is it 500 to 1,000 containers?
It's more than that. This one probably have 2,500 containers on it.
2,500. Okay.
That's an awful lot. Really quick. And you see those containers right now, they're shaped like sideways and they shift. That's because there was more containers, but they're all in the water now because of the bridge push it. I've seen that this morning really early when it did happen. And this was really bad.
Yeah, and the ship containers themselves, each container is between 10, it says, and 25,000 pounds. So even if it wasn't going very fast, the velocity and the force that would have generated would have been enough to tear any bridge into pieces.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that
is sad,
we talk about here on Uptime is that we have a hope. And, you know, we're mentioning quite a few things today and, you know, about different ministries that are going on. But one of the things we have to realize is, you know, we talked about 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, getting right, you know, God's will is that all men are to be saved and come into a knowledge of the knowledge of the truth. One, you know, that verse about rightly dividing the word of truth, which is very, very important, isn't it, John? We got, well, that's one of the things we need to do.
Yes.
Is rightly dividing is right cutting is what it is.
Yes.
It's right cut. You go into the place to get a cut of meat, and you want the right cut of meat. And that's what we're trying to do here. So
yes, and that's what I bring to the people who are coming to our Bible study.
Yeah.
If you're saved and everything, the next following verse that you need to is 2 Timothy 2:15. To study. Yeah. That's what Paul says. If you have another perversion, which is not the King James, unfortunately, it says, do your best, this. If you have time after your second cup of coffee. No, Paul is strictly talking about study to show thyself. And he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why he didn't say rightly dividing the word of God? Because we know it's already the word of God. Paul was speaking the word of truth, and that's what we have to understand now. I don't want to be starting to be, I'm not a preacher, but that's the most important verse. And if you don't have study in your Bible, unfortunately, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it, you do have a perversion. That's what it is. And I got many more examples, but this verse, it's a commandment of Paul. It's a COP. And here we go. I'm gone now. I'm sorry. I didn't even have coffee today. So,
hey,
but that's what it is. That's the truth. And we have to stick to it, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. That is the truth.
Hey, I got one verse that I want to share right after this one you put up here.
Sure.
To study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, it's Proverbs 3, 5 to 7.
Proverbs 3, 5, I'm going to get it there for you.
Yeah, Proverbs 3, 5, 7?
I got 7. It.
Okay,
I got it.
I want to show you something here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what the word direct means?
Amen.
Rightly divide.
Yes.
That is the Hebrew word for rightly divide.
Yes.
But that's another coincidence. Why does the Bible say that? Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall rightly divide your paths. It means he's going to be with you. There's going to be paths. There's going to be good ones, the ones you need to go on, and there's going to be the ones you don't want to go on. But with his direction, I just thought that didn't cost you any extra tonight. But I saw that, and I looked at that word, and I went, that's the same, basically the same word that's in 2 Timothy.
Yes, being straight. That's from the Greek, being straight, yashar.
Yeah, I could probably make a whole video on just that on my channel. So thank you for the idea.
And Shane, it's, you know, and it's as we acknowledge him. He doesn't, you know, God wants us to acknowledge him. He's our Father.
Yep.
You know, he's
amen.
Like we've talked about before, he's the forgiving Father. He's waiting for his kids to come home. Right.
I love him.
And he wants to direct.
I love him.
He wants to direct our past. And you know, I don't always follow the direction of the Lord. I've fallen down quite a bit in my life. A ton. But you know,
same.
I always come back to him and say, Lord, you know, I need your direction. I acknowledge that you need to help me on this. You know, you're the one. You know, we're not here because of our brilliance. We're here because of grace.
There's a verse about what you just brought up. Maybe John knows who this is, or Michael.
Which one?
Where God whispers into people's ears and says, here's the way, go this way, go that way, go this way, guiding Israel.
Like a still small voice.
At
one point, the pillar of fire and smoke, and they were
falling. There's that one, but it's like there would be a time where people will be able to hear his voice and he'll say, this is the way to go.
Sure. I don't think that that's, you know,
so walkie in it.
when you go through the Gospels, Jesus was always did the will of the Father. We all agree to that. And he was a man of prayer. We all agree to that.
Yes.
Why did he pray? You ever wonder?
Prayed to
the
Father.
The reason. Yeah. Okay. The reason is because that was also the Father's will, that he pray.
Amen.
That, you know, his life was such an example and such a witness.
That's something that's always attacked, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, you know, because...
Isn't that what Satan tries to do?
Yeah.
Is separate
the reason it's attacked is because it's something that, you know, he'll come to your mind and he'll say, well, God already knows your needs. Why do you need to pray? God needs, he inhabits the praises of his people.
I found the verse.
Yeah.
Oop.
Who has a cat with a ball that makes noise?
Oh, that's probably me. She's running around in here. That's our Mixie. She gets wound up at night.
Okay.
But, you know, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. But I think it was in Isaiah. Is that the one, Shane?
Yep.
Yes. Yes. I love that verse. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Yeah. It reminded me that when Bob read Proverbs, it was like, and thine ears shall hear word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it.
Walk ye in it.
When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
Yeah, beautiful.
That is amazingly beautiful. And I can't tell you how many times in my own life that the Lord has whispered that very thing into my ear, directing me and guiding me. And just what Brother Bob was talking about, Mr. Hagin, and the prayer aspect of things and how Satan will come against you with condemnation to try to drive a wedge between you and the Father to keep you from praying, to keep you from reading scripture, and you become spiritually lethargic and you become weak. And really? I've been in that state before, and I was like a weak man on a sick bed, you know, and I had to take small bits of the word in until I got my strength back. And just like in the natural, if you've ever stopped reading the word, the living word of God, that bread of life, who Jesus is, the bread of life, you become sick and you become spiritually weakened. And just like if you ever starved in your life, your body can't get food all at once. You have to slowly with like bone broth, and then you move into more solid food and you work your way up. But the Lord is so gentle, and over the course of she's adorable. But over the course of my walk with the Lord, I remember near the beginning having fallen into that snare, and I just felt so condemned. And the Lord is so, just so gentle, and you realize that the Lord loves you no matter what, and He just speaks to you in ways that only you'll ever understand, only because He knows you and how to speak to you. And it's just so amazing. And when He restores you, it's those moments that I've learned the most that God will truly never leave you nor forsake you. Those are the moments that God has proven Himself. You know, yes, we have faith at the, you know, in His finished work, but it's then we finally have the eyes to see spiritually all the things that God's doing in our life. And when you start experiencing those relationships, restorations and sanctifications, guys, it's so amazing. And I was, before I came on today, I was praying and I was like, Lord, I have nothing to say. I have really, outside of the event, I really don't have anything to say. And I whatever you want me to speak about, you know, just place it upon my heart to speak about. And I was just sitting there, and guys, it was, not to sound corny or anything, but you know, I look down and I have little water drops on my Bible pages from just crying, because the Lord is just so gentle and so peaceful. And I was like, Lord, I love you. I really love you. I hope this eclipse is it, because I want to go home. I want to be with you. I'm so ready in a sense, you know. Yes, there's people out there that need the gospel, but I think we are all at a place where we're looking at this eclipse and we're saying, Jesus, even so, come quickly. Even so, come quickly, because it's been a hard road. And for some people out there, man, I can't even imagine. If they probably have lived like in the tribulation period, especially people who are in like Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, yeah. India, you know, they really go through some tough things over there. But
You know, and there's a lot of countries over there, like for instance, Iran, that's supposedly, you know, they're saying they're behind all this terrorism and all these wars and everything that's going on over there. Whether they are or not, I don't know. But there's a huge underground Christian church in Iran. Huge.
Yes, I've heard.
And they really, those guys over there that run the show don't like that. There's a lot of people, I mean, it's against the law to be a Christian in Iran. And it's almost against the law to be Christian in certain other countries, which will remain unnamed.
In Canada, it's going to be there probably next month. It's going to be illegal to preach and to talk about the word of God.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I can't see stopping. You know, you gonna put a stop sign up there, John? You gonna say, we can't do it anymore because of the...
No, I'm gonna keep going until they put a bullet in my head.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys something weird if you want to hear something interesting and strange, and don't take it as prophecy, everyone who's listening today. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a man who used to have a long beard, but now regressed in time. And and I used to be in a closet, but now I have a room. So there's so many amazing changes. But I had a dream, and it was really kind of quite weird. This was, I'd say almost 2 years ago, maybe a little bit sooner than that. And this is what blew my mind. I reminded my wife of this. And so I was at a cabin. It was like this log cabin. And my wife was there. My daughter was there. And my mom was there. Strangely, I didn't even think about it, but my dad wasn't there. And as you guys know who have been watching, my father passed away recently. Well, this dream happened, like I said, almost 2 years ago. And I went outside, and it was beautiful out, and I looked in the sky, and I seen the sun, and it was real big in the sky, and I was like, whoa. And I actually think I mentioned this dream once on Uptime before, but yeah, so the sun was in the sky, and I was like, whoa, that looks crazy. And I was looking at it, and all of a sudden, the sun went dark. It started getting real dark, and I was like, I got to get my camera and record this. And I went back inside the cabin as fast as I could. And I looked down and I grabbed a digital DSLR style camera. And this is crazy because I never even owned one at that time. And I went outside and I started filming it. And I seen strange things happening. And all of a sudden I could see the forest, and all these animals started acting very bizarre. And they started walking out of the forest. And this feeling of trepidation, this feeling of almost anxiety started washing over me, and almost like a fear. And I was like, something ain't right. And I stopped filming, and I ran inside, and I barred the door shut. And I was like, you know, something crazy's happening. And then I looked out the window, and it was just chaos. And then I woke up. But I thought that was really interesting, because I was like, you know what? I've been talking about filming an eclipse, a solar eclipse, with a DSLR style camera that I never owned before, and that my mother bought for me. And I was like, this is kind of intense. Now, granted, I'm not in a cabin or anything, but I was like, that's kind of weird. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen like that or anything significant about that at all, but I just thought it was something weird to share, just to provoke your thoughts.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I just hope it's a clear. I just hope it's a clear day, clear night, so you
it's
can.
It's gonna be my birthday on the 8th. So hey, that's a good birthday gift. Psst, go, bye bye.
Nice. Yeah,
you guys. Bye bye.
What are you? 35 again?
Yes. No. Okay. Not so much. No. I know. I look 35 though. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't.
So baby smooth skin.
Oh yeah, that's new. That new filter is pretty good in that StreamYard.
Yeah, that's awesome. John doesn't look anything like it. She's.
Yeah. No.
No.
No, that's what you get. What you see is what you get. A Frenchman that has a funny accent in English and standing for the word of God. Amen.
You don't have a funny accent at all, John.
Oh, it is funny. I laugh at me sometimes, so this is really bad.
My mom was from Belgium. My mom, she passed away at 102, and she never lost her accent, ever.
Okay, she was speaking French from Belgium. That's the well-spoken French. It's not my slang.
Yeah, the French are Flemish over there.
Yes. When I was living in the States in southern Georgia, they used to call me the French redneck.
I didn't know that redneck.
Rednecks existed over there. Wow.
Yeah. That's interesting. Because of my slang and my funny accent. Y'all.
John, the watchdog redneck. That's a new handle.
That's all. You fit in perfectly in Indiana. We're a bunch of rednecks here in the sticks.
Pickup trucks, ATVs, and funny duct tape and stuff. Yes, I used a lot of duct tape when I was down there for all kinds of stuff until I burned my face.
Oh man.
Yeah, I know. I was young, wild, and free.
So, Shane, I got a question for you. What are you studying right now in the Word? What's your...
I'm feeling right now that the Holy Spirit's not letting me go in Romans.
Okay.
For basically the past 2 years, like I can't tell you how many times I've read the book of Romans. And you guys know my testimony, my story, but I found something amazing that when you're reading Romans, it adjusts your frame of mind to line up with God himself, the mind of Christ. And because of that, because of reading the book of Romans over and over, I thought, you know what? There's some times where all of a sudden I get to a point where maybe I doubt what I've heard from the Holy Spirit. Maybe, did I really hear this? Did I really hear that? So what I decided to do, I think it was last week, last Wednesday, what I did was I wrote out 100 scripture verses that are positive in nature, affirmations, if you will. And I just read these every once in a while. I just read these out. And it's scripture. It's from the King James Bible. So, for example, like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you can't help. Your mind can't wander somewhere else to negativity when you're reading that verse. You can't do it.
Yeah.
So then I wrote another one, and you can spend, I think, to get through these 100 verses, it'll take you about 30 minutes to read them out loud, like read them out loud. And so that's what I've been doing. Like it took me, I think it takes about a minute or so to write out each verse, and I thought I would get hand cramps because I'm not used to writing, but yes. I didn't. It was like, and if I made a mistake, I wrote out the verse again. If I made a little error at the letter, I'm like, done. That page is gone.
Like a scrib.
Yeah. So I got an idea. Right? So
that's awesome.
I wrote it out in cursive. Yeah. And I tell you, there's power in reading the verses and writing them down.
Yeah. Writing them, there's power, of course, yes.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's funny. I do the same thing. I just got
that's awesome. A whole book. There's so much power.
Yeah, I love doing that, and that's my Centurions of Faith book right there, everyone. Yeah, and
you guys are faithful, Timothy. Study to show myself approved. That's what it is.
It really makes all the difference. It really does, because one thing, and this is some of the things that I've written down, because when the enemy starts attacking you, and he will, and he has I think. Charles Lawson calls it a war of contrition, where he'll attack and then he'll draw back. He'll attack and then he draws back. And sometimes if you're not eating your word like you should be or praying like you should be, which, you know, I'm not perfect. There's times when I'm I make excuses and I'm like, well, I got to go do this event. I'll get to that. And the Lord, over the last, I'd say 3 months, has really worked with me on that and prioritizing Scripture above all else. You know, what we do is great. You know, helping people's great. But the first thing that matters the most is our relationship and walk with the Lord.
Yep.
And what ended up happening for me was I started noticing doubts, and I started listening to the other voice. And I wasn't sure. And I was like, I remember at one point, I'm being very transparent with you guys. I always will, because the truth is the most important thing. And maybe you can learn from my mistakes. And well, so I wasn't doing as I should do my due diligence. And yeah, I was reading, but it's different when your heart's in it. When you're like Ezra and you set your heart to the Lord, that makes a huge difference. You can read the Bible all day long, but if you're not, your heart's not in it, you're not going to really pick up very much. And so that was going on, and I was being attacked, and I got to a place where I was like, Lord, I am so confused right now. I don't know what's going on. It seems like I don't know from my left, from my right anymore. I was like, how did this happen? How did this happen? And it was so amazing. And this is one of those moments when I was just praying and talking to the Lord in those relationship building moments. You know, Jesus, he didn't forsake me. God didn't strike me down. He didn't send me over into a delusion or something. No, he spoke with me into my heart, and he impressed it upon me. And in such a way, it felt like he was talking to me. And I remember praying, and I opened up the Bible, and I opened it right up to where Pilate was talking to Jesus, and he was like, what is the truth, you know? And sadly, Pilate didn't recognize the truth was standing right before him. And then we see that those who know the truth hear God's voice.
Yeah.
That's how we know the truth, is by hearing God's voice. We know him because we have heard him. And then the Lord started sending me all over the Bible. And I was in 1 John, and then I was in the Gospels, and then I was going back and forth. But what happened was kind of – I know this is not the same as Brother Shane, obviously.
Good.
But where you were saying, you were like, I don't really know what's going on. Let me write this down to make sure that I hammer out what I know is really the Holy Spirit and what's not. And that's kind of what actually started this notebook. I've always been doing notebooks, and but I started writing down things that are characteristics of God. And I'm like, this is a characteristic of God. So I find this scripture and I'll write it down. You know, the Lord, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us, you know, a spirit of love and a power and of a sound mind. I put that in the characteristic of God. And then you start building out these pages and you study it and you understand this is the voice of God. When you hear things that are edifying, the truth, it aligns with Scripture. It doesn't leave you confused. It leaves you feeling bold and empowered and full of love and life. You know it's God talking to you. And then likewise, when you hear things that are not edifying, not building up, but they're destroying, they're tearing down, it's not making you feel easy, but uneasy and anxiety, you'll start realizing. And I seen Charles Lawson, and that really motivated me, because he said that he was in his prayer closet and he's like, you know what? I realized that wasn't the Holy Spirit that I was talking to or was hearing. And I was like, Brother Lawson, thank you for being real. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for being honest in front of people, because there's so many people out there who have gone through things and they're too afraid to talk about it because of peer judgment, things of that nature. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I don't care. People can think of me whatever they want to think of me. I care what God thinks about me. Yeah. And that's the most important thing. So if I can share that with you guys, if you're struggling out there, you're not consuming the word like you should, or you're not sure who you're listening to, that's how you know. You'll know based off of the character of God.
Yeah, between you and Shane, you know, it's interesting what you're talking about, writing out the scriptures and then reading them out loud. But did you know that every time that you go to the Word of God, there is a degree, and I don't know what the degree is, but there is a degree of worship every time you open God's Word and read it.
For sure.
for sure.
And when you're reading it out loud, it reinforces the truth of the Word of God. You're reading it. Yeah. Okay. You're speaking 100%. It. You're hearing it. You're seeing it.
Yep.
And amen. it's like you're just you're what you're doing. It's like the alternator in a car. You know, the battery. You got your car going. You know, it has to recharge. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really get out of this, because we have a tendency to know, we know what the Word says.
Amen.
And then we say, well, why should I write this down? Mm-hmm. But the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He also values what we do in our lives. And when we're,
amen,
when we take the time to spend in his Word and writing it down, and then on top of that, reading it out loud, and just, you know, as you're reading along, you get to a point where you're saying, I'm so thankful I know this. Thank you, Lord. And amen. You're praising him and you're thanking him and you're reinforcing what you already know. And there's also, rivers of understanding. You know, he gives us spiritual understanding as we spend the time in the Word, which we all need. You know, none of us have gotten to that point where, hey, I've got it all figured out. I'm not going to say that on here because I don't. And I've got so little figured out. I know John has it almost all figured out, but he's one of the few.
The Bible is humbling, man, because the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And that is what I find with the Bible and Scripture. It's like the more that I learn about the Lord, the more I realize I really didn't know anything at all. And I'm like, wow, Lord, I'm constantly learning new things. You're constantly blowing away my mind. And then just what you're talking about, Brother Bob, I love it because it reminds me instantly the Holy Spirit's like Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing of the Word of God. There is a absolute power in hearing. And that is the evidence in Scripture to support it. And we know that. So when we're reading the Scripture, it's actually, when we're saying it out loud, it's building our faith. And that is, in a time where the enemy is really trying to tear our faith down, that is an extremely important thing. So I'm so happy you guys brought that up.
Yes. And it's like the hub, H-U-B. That's the hub of everything, of the world, of the eternity, of your faith and everything. The hub is very simple. It's to remember what's going on and how to do it. The H is for hearing the gospel. That's me preaching or bringing the gospel. The U is understanding the Bible. That's you and me discussing about it and trying to figure it out. Unfortunately, the B is for believing. That's only you. I cannot believe for you. That's the only part that you have to do by yourself. That's the hub. If you want to write it down somewhere, make sure it will always bring you hear the gospel, understand the gospel, believe the gospel.
Amen.
See, all these nuggets of truth you learn on here.
Yes.
Thank you, John. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You got to be, you must be focusing on what's going on. There is no time to put pretty flowers around the gospel, okay? It's turn or burn. It's 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. If you don't understand that, please, please, please either put it in the comments or anything like this. Ask to be explained it to you. But if you don't know the what Jesus did for you, it's okay to know the who. The who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the what he did for you. What he shed his blood. Everybody thinks because it's going to be the big weekend for Easter and all that stuff. That's so much perversion in that stuff.
Yes, it is.
But the thing is, everybody thinks that Jesus was forced to be crucified. No, when he reached the top of it and he had the cross beam there, he laid his life himself. And that's why he said it. And that's physically what he did. He laid his life himself. Nobody took it from him.
Amen.
Right.
And that's a physical statement, and that's really what happened. Those who believe that he was forced and chained and everything,
No, he was not. Yeah, he laid his life
and
down.
And he died on Wednesday at 3 o'clock. That's another topic, but if you want to go there, we can go there.
Good Friday.
Good.
There's no such thing as a good Friday.
John, we got to talk, brother.
Oh, yes, we need to talk. Join us in the morning. We'll explain it to you.
Yeah. Hey, it's interesting how you know, you don't know what you're going to say, Michael, and then all this stuff comes out tonight. Yeah, that's
right.
I'm really
excited right now. I have for a coffee, and my people that know me and say, "No, John, don't get a coffee."
Yeah. Well, I'm going to fly up there and visit you now that I know you live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. I'm coming up.
Yes,
nice. Welcome.
Anything it's bed for you, no problem.
At the same time, we're all
fresh.
I think another thing that comes to mind is the importance of the fellowship.
Yeah.
Yes.
We talk about this a lot. The fellowship that we're having tonight. There's people in the chat room, and I can see some. I can't communicate with any of them. I don't have that ability here. Maybe I do, but I just don't do it. At the same time, people are on there, and they're on here for a reason. A lot of them have been on for the whole life of this Uptime ministry. Some of them, come along and they'll click in, and all of a sudden they'll hear something. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
Exhorting one another, we're to build each other up. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's very important that I believe we're all respectful of each other, and but like John, you think you talk too much, man. I'm a blabbermouth when I get on here.
Definitely not. I love when you speak, man. It's seasoned with salt.
It's great though, because we all have we all need each other. We all need each other's strengths. Yes. I need Shane's strengths. I need John's strengths, and I need your strengths, Mike. Yeah. We're all important to the Lord. He doesn't haphazardly do stuff. Sometimes I wonder if it's real how blessed I am. And there's struggles. We all have them, right?
Amen.
But the thing about it is we don't have to give up,
No. And that's the thing, though. When we're quickened with the power of the Holy Spirit and He's residing in you, and it's very difficult. And if you've ever been through a situation where you are just at your end, your wit's end, you're like, God, I can't take one more step. I realized, and having been through those situations more than once now, that truly in my weakness, He is made strong. And there are so many times when the Lord has shown up in such a powerful way that we realize that it really isn't us. I think the expression is sometimes we have to let go to let God, right? And sometimes we do ourselves injustice because we're holding on to those things, and we're like trying to fight it in our own power, our own strength, and our own ability. And we're just getting slammed, and God's just sitting there like, just give it to me. Just give it to me, Michael. Give it to me, Shane. Give it to me, John and Bob. Let go.
My yoke is light and easy.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes our old flesh nature just wants to latch on to it. And God's like sitting there like using circumstances to slowly pry my fingers off of it. And eventually I'm done. I'm too weak. And I'm like, Jesus, it's all you.
That was what John just said. That's my last verse, 100, Matthew 11:28-29. Amen. My very first verse I memorized when I got saved.
Yes. Amen.
That is awesome.
It's powerful. It's powerful, right?
Amen.
We do have a yoke, and we do have a burden.
Yes.
In life,
all the time.
And the yoke, we're yoked together with Jesus Christ. The burdens that we have. We might have burdens for a particular person we're praying for, or the country or whatever. And he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, but there is a burden. We all have them. it makes it easier when we can know that there's other brothers that are praying for us and stuff, you know.
Here's a question, Bob. Along that note, I hear what you're throwing down, but what if we took that burden for our loved ones and put it on the Lord, the Holy Spirit? What would that feel like? If the Holy Spirit, if we said, you, like, he knows, obviously, right? Jesus Christ died for, so mm-hmm. all men could be saved. Mm-hmm. So I have loved ones that are not saved.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that are not saved. I have coworkers that are not saved. And if you're dwelling on that, it could bring you down real fast. You could all of a sudden, Lord, like, what's going on? But if you put the burden and you take his yoke,
right,
and his burden, it's light.
Right.
And put it on him and the Holy Spirit, you know, just guide me on what to say to these people. Just help me so that when I'm immersing in his word and when I go out there to meet with my coworker or my relative or brothers or sisters that don't know the Lord, that I would hear the Holy Spirit and he would say the right thing and I would just speak it. And now that's not me. That's not my burden anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to make it sound like it's it's not there, because we all care for our loved ones and stuff, but I think we have to get to a point where we trust him in his timing. Yeah. My timing might be different. I might want somebody saved today, right now. But maybe another person comes along and says the right word to that person, and then another person.
Yeah. Well, so you hear stories all the time about people that overheard somebody sharing a word with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, just like that.
I heard the word 1985, and I just this week got saved. Well, how come it took you so many years? Well, instead of going, wow, that's great. I'm blessed that you're saved. Because sometimes it takes a little bit of time, but that's a good point, Shane, because, we do need to, we can plant and water, but God's the one that has increase. Yep. If we lived our lives like that, we'd be able to do what Paul said here, that, my grace is sufficient for, the Lord said to him, my strength is made perfect in weakness, or in your weakness, and we need it.
For sure.
And not just one day a week. Mm-hmm. I used to think that, well, if you're a Christian, you go to church on Sunday and you go to Bible study on Wednesday, and then what do you do the rest of the week? But now it's a daily thing, waking up, thinking the word, and trying to live to the best of our ability, following the truth, and there's going to be times when we don't hit the mark, but that's a walk. So
it is. Yeah. And those seasons, the seasons in that walk can feel like a long time. And that's the thing. And it goes into a whole another category of how people as believers look at other believers when they're going through certain seasons, and they try to, be like, they're not producing fruit. I don't know about them, and go, and they don't, it's like, leave the salvation aspect up to God.
Yeah. How about for a change?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the most good. That always gets me, because I'm like, we just don't know, because, like 1 John, if they were of us, they would have continued with us, right? Well, that season of time, I've heard and seen people fall away for a season, not permanently. And that defining fact of if they were of us is that if they continue. So when they come back, it may be 5-10 years, whatever the case is, a prodigal. And the whole time, unfortunately, I know they probably had brothers and sisters in Christ, like, they're gone, they lost it, or they don't have no fruit or anything like that. And it's really sad, and that kind of conversation brought that to mind. And This is a time that we have to be edifying, and edify is to build someone up. And if someone's having a season of doubt, a season of, shipwrecked, if someone's shipwrecked in their faith, the last thing you want to do is add on to their distress. We're supposed to restore our brothers and sisters in love, not shoot them down and condemn them and say, where's your fruit?
Yep.
Sorry, that just came to mind. I was like, oh, I have to say that.
No, it's good. It's real. No, it's very good.
It's such a joy always to come on here with you guys, though. And for everyone who's joined us, Brother Greg, his wife Shannon, is having surgery on her eye. So please pray for her. I know I've seen you guys asking, where's Brother Greg? Well, that's where Brother Greg is. And I've also seen people, again, asking about Brother Bob Barber. Again, he is away with family. Please also keep him in your prayers and his family in your prayers that they have safe travels. That is very important right now for both of them. And, of course, feel free to pray for me and the panelists as well. Yes. We always covet your prayers. It's always nice to have people praying for you.
We're 50-50 tonight, two Canadians, two Americans.
That's right.
Yeah, it's wild.
We're coming.
I wonder if, I know Bob went to Purdue. I wonder if he went down to take in some basketball with his family. I don't know, because I haven't talked to Bob lately. And I don't even know where they're playing, but I know they're going to be playing next weekend.
Gotcha.
Sweet 16. So
Sweet 16.
That's a pretty good team, too, Purdue has this year. So I don't know what's gonna happen with that. But
that's where they are. And also for trolls in the chat, I'm sorry. I don't know if there's any moderators on Bob's side, but I don't have the ability to do that. So
pretty bad.
For everyone who's asking about that, I don't know if we have any mods in there tonight. So please have grace for us. And please have grace for the troll. Really, if they're really trolling and they're really lost, then they should be someone that we really are, empathetic and have pity towards them, because the end, And when I was talking to the children, and it was crazy because, you guys, I don't plan a script. I just pick up the microphone and I just let it rip. And I'm like, Lord, please speak to me, just speak through me. Allow me to witness to these children. And I remember the opening line, and I was like, wow, Lord, I never would have thought of that. And I remember talking to him, and I said, it's sad because, like the trolls and like the children and most people out there, they only know Jesus as a byword, the punchline of a joke, some kind of blasphemy. That's how they know Jesus. And our job here is to show you and show and reveal by the power of the Holy Spirit who Jesus is, what he's done for you. He shed his blood. He died on the cross. He was buried and rose again on the third day. Jesus loved us so much that he's willing to lay down his life. And there's no greater love than this, that demonstration, than a man who lays down his life for his friend. And he did that for us while we were still sinners. So the trolls out there, we love you. And I know it sounds crazy to be loved by someone that's never seen you, or it just experiences your trolling nature, but we do. We do honestly care about you, because like the children, and I may hopefully not too badly scared them, but I said hell is forever, and some people think that they rather party in hell than serve in heaven, but that is not the truth. There is no party in hell, and you would rather serve in heaven, because that is truly where life and peace and joy is. And hell is eternal. And there's no do-overs. There's no second chances. This is the only time that we have to come to the Lord. So today is the day of salvation. And I pray for all you out there who may have come across the channel, who are trolling the channel right now, to truly consider, and as Bob Hagen always says, give Jesus a chance.
Give Jesus a chance, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Be the most important decision you ever make. And, we can show you in the Word where, the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Acts 4:12, no name named under heaven. Jesus is the name, whereby men must be saved. Now, he either told the truth or he lied. If he lied, we're wasting your time and ours.
Yep.
If he told the truth, which we all believe he did, then you've got reason to be listening. And, you know, get a hold of a Bible, King James Version, and start reading the Gospels. You know, get to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I was challenged to read the Gospels many years ago when I was a Buddhist. And I'm glad I did. You know, I thought I knew the Bible. And I'd even taken a class at college, you know, the Bible is literature, which, you know, but not to say much about that. But at the same time, it got me thinking about things and different things happen around me. And but when I was involved in that Buddhism, you know, there were people that still took the time to show me concern and tell me about Jesus. And I'm glad they did, you know. They didn't have to. You didn't have to come up and say anything to me. They didn't have to come up and say anything to Michael or John or Shane. And the hourglass is rolling. Yeah.
It's a new life, everyone.
Yeah. This.
It's okay.
See what happened? When he cut that excess beard off, he gets more ideas now because it's not weighing him down. That's
funny. Yeah, my neck needed a break. Whew, I tell you.
I wondered who that guy was when after you cut it. I was wondering where Michael went. I really was.
Are you still taking questions tonight, Michael?
Yep.
We already did, John. Where were you? We just did. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Give him a compliment.
You're not funny.
All right, everybody. If you have questions, start leaving them in the chat. There.
Just put at questions and write your question. And we're going to see it there.
But yeah, thank you guys also for staying with us tonight. I know we don't have Greg or Brother Bob Barber, and I know they're big figures in Uptime Community Church. Mm-hmm. And so for you guys who have stayed for the crazy gang to be here tonight, that I really appreciate y'all being here.
Well, thanks a lot. Calling us crazy now, huh?
Oh yeah, man, you're the crazy. No, but it is awesome that you guys stayed here with us, and that means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to everyone here tonight.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's a lot of other things you could be doing. You could be watching some mindless program on TV right now.
Friends.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Some friends.
Friends.
If you you know, I think you could give them an assignment, Shane. You could say for next week, your assignment is to write out every day a few verses that bless you, and keep track of them and read them out loud and see if that makes any difference in your life between now and next week. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, for sure.
What I'm going to do because I, you know. And it's important that we reinforce this because the key to the renewed mind is such a key. I mean, we got this noggin. We may as well put the truth in it.
Yeah.
You know, the mind was designed for the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, the battlefield is the mind.
Yep.
The weapon is God's Word and the key is faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we really, you know, if we need to be equipped, and we are, the Word says we are equipped, but we have to put these things on. You know, we're not just, it'd be great if everything was always automatic and we never had to be concerned about any of this stuff. But, you know, the our job, if you will, is to strive to be faithful. God is always faithful, but you know, he's calling faithful men and women still.
Yeah.
You know?
Occupy.
I can remember some verses. Jesus wept.
I just had to pull this up
That's a good one.
This was the very...
35, I think.
When I was a child in church growing up, and we had this little children's program, I guess kind of like VBS or Vacation Bible School, and they were like, you got to memorize it first. And I was terrible at memorizing. So someone came up to me and was like, this is the one for you. And I still remember it. So
amazing. Amazing. Wow.
Yep.
That you know where it is? There.
Yep. Luke 11 or something like that. I don't know.
No, that's John.
Yeah, John.
Oh, John, you're right.
Yeah, John 11:35.
Yep. Yeah. John 11. Oh, wow. I had the right chapter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. So,
yes.
Remove the stone.
There is a lot of questions that going by, and people did put questions.
You want to thought go about?
Well, we can start with the first one that come up most of the time. What do you guys think about the red effort for the 29th?
Mm. Wow,
that's a big one, eh?
That is a big one.
Well, there were four or five of them, right, John?
Yes, but some have been eliminated because they found an imperfection in the neck or something like this. There's only one left.
Mm-hmm. So do they have Levites as well that are ready to go?
Yeah,
and the robes and everything? Because the linen, the clothing is actually kind of a big deal because you have to have the dye from the right area, the right tree, the right whatever insects or whatever they had to make the purple dye and all that stuff. So they're pretty confident that they have all that stuff in place?
Because yes.
If you miss that, it's kind of like...
Yeah, they're ready to go, my friend.
And if they lose the last one, they even have the Revlon number 5 fire engine red on hand. I just find it's
an interesting place. Out of all the places in the world, they would choose to do it on the Mount of Olives, where Zechariah talks about the Mount of Olives being split in two. It's kind of interesting, like, because nowhere before that did you see them sacrificing animals on the Mount of Olives. Like, I can't find it anywhere in the Bible.
Hey, Gary Eastwood here. He said he's legally blind. It's very hard for me to read the Bible. What's a good read-along Bible app for the PC?
Yes.
You know, you can go on and you can put down, you can do, there are some where there's people reading the Bible to you.
Yes.
There's quite a few of them. Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, if you want the best reading thing, it's Alex Corby.
Yep.
There is. Yes, that's the Alex Corby. You can get all the CDs, and you can download them in your computer. And you, even if you're legally blind, I think that you have ways to talk with your computer, and you will have the read out loud and stuff. I would use that because the Alex Corby is done with chapters and verses. So you can physically go to verses, and you decide to read Timothy tonight, you can do that, okay?
Another awesome feature, and again, this is not a sponsor, but Bible Gateway, you actually can go into Bible Gateway and go to the audio player. You can choose your chapter, your verse, and book, and you can change it. And they don't have a Scorby, who is my absolute favorite, but you can get these for free. We have Max McLean and Paul Mims and a dramatized version of the KJV. Yeah. So
these are also Josh's name on there.
The Book of Genesis, Chapter 1.
So it's really awesome.
Yes,
and I'm not sure if you can hear that, but it's pretty cool.
That was that's Max McLean. Max McLean. I like the way he talks.
Yeah.
I didn't see your name on there, John, on the list of people that read.
No.
I thought you were...
You don't want me to read the Bible because...
Oh, come on.
I do have an app that I listen to KJV 1611, read by a British man. And it sounds like way back, and I fall asleep on that when I read it, when I listen to it in bed. It's really good. And it's just like if I would be back in 1611 with King James.
Yeah.
You know, the British accent, deep, deep, grave British accent. It's really good. I really enjoy that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Amen. That is very cool.
But I hope that helps Gary out.
Yes, yeah, like the Bible app by, I forget who the company is that did the Bible app. It's called the Holy Bible User. What's it called? That one, I think, is supposed to be for the legally blind, Kindle as well, Read2Go, Voice Dream, books, audiobooks, like on your iPhone. I think you can get them to read those texts out loud. I believe. They all have features in that.
Well, the chances are that Gary can probably get, I mean, once he gets it, gets apps on or gets some CDs or whatever, he can, you know, he can figure out, you know, what exactly, but, you know, start off, you know, go through the Gospels and, you know, spend some time getting to know Jesus Christ and then go into the, you know, spend some time in the epistles and, you know, and just tell us what's going on. If you've next week when you come on, let us know if you've been able to find a good app. We'd like to know.
Yep. I have another question here. And does anyone want to take a jab at this?
What is it?
The question is, I've heard a teaching that the church / body is not the bride of Christ. How can Jesus marry his body? Do you have a clarification on this?
Yes. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, like the first thing I think about is, like John will probably be able to explain a little bit better, but when I think about that we are a joint heir with Christ, we're one with Christ, we're his body, we are his flesh, we are his bones. This mirrors all the way back to Genesis where God says, let no man separate, basically, when you have Adam and Eve together. And Adam says, this is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. It's almost like a shadow of what's coming down the pipes with Jesus Christ. Now, John might be able to articulate it a little bit better for me.
In French?
In French.
In French.
Parlez-vous français?
Alors voilà, ce soir je vais vous parler.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, okay, if you go with the Jews belong to God, okay? The Jews are God's people. No matter what you say, no matter what they did, no matter where, how, time, whatever, they're God's people. We belong to Jesus Christ, the Gentiles. That's the right there. That's the 2,000 year right there on the board. Okay? And at this point, we belong. That's the body of Christ. Why are we getting called the bride of Christ? Because once we get raptured, we're going to be at the marriage of the Lamb. That's us. We're going to be with him. Mm-hmm. And after that, after the thousand year there, the millennium, then the new Jerusalem come down as a bride. He built us a house for us to go in there. I'm just shorting it very short right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Makes
but
total
that's
sense.
What it is. We're the body of Christ. Us on the earth, so I'm a hand, you're a foot, we're a hand, and we all get together to learn. But when the rapture comes, that's what it is, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're being raptured, and we're gonna be his love. If everybody wants to bring it to, you got a verse there, go ahead.
Yeah,
exactly. And another thing to bring up, Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things he might have preeminence. And we can also take this back to typologies with Adam and Eve. You know, he is the second Adam, and we have the first Adam. First Adam, out of his side, was his bride, Eve, the mother of all living, right?
Yep.
And we have the second Adam, Jesus Christ crucified, pierced through the side, out came blood and water. You know, that's what we needed to be grafted back into the body of Christ. We came out of his side by that blood of the new covenant. So we have those kind of images and typology. And these are things that, you know, the Lord, he opens your eyes to once you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like, hey, look at all these pictures I've placed in Scripture. Not only that, but we have the dowry. We have the picture of the dowry. Once you're sealed, the akaron, being born again, that's a dowry being placed aside, being purchased as a husband in Jewish culture would put down a down payment for his bride that he was coming to come retrieve at a time unknown, just like we don't know absolutely for sure when his return is. So we have so many awesome pictures of why we are the bride of Christ throughout Scripture. It's not just one verse. It's many different aspects.
Even if you think about Paul,
Paul's specialty was revealing mysteries. And if you think about Ephesians, he was talking about marriage, talking about husbands, love your wives, wives, respect your husbands. And then he says, but I'm actually speaking about the church. This is a mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church. And this is something that was a little bit mysterious to the Old Testament, and especially the Jews. They didn't think that of the Gentiles. They weren't like, they didn't want anything to do with heaven, nothing like that. They want a piece of land, a piece of real estate. So there is two programs at play right now. And right now, it's the Gentiles being grafted in left, right, and center. And when Jesus, his great appearing, when he comes, calls us home, we're out of here. And then Israel's program continues.
It resumes. Now, just I'm sharing that screen. I know I did share it last week. But if you want a good thing to know where we are at right now, there is two seasons in Israel, winter and summer. There is no fall. There is no spring. It's very specific. That's one of the place there. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8 to 13. Now, for those on the podcast, we can read it. Anybody wants to read it? But you'll see it's very poetic, but it speaks the truth. And that's very uplifting.
I could read it. At least a couple. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, shewing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake, and he said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Pretty cool.
Amen. Yes. I absolutely love it.
And if you look at the first verse, number 8, leaping upon mountains, skipping upon the hills, is not touching the earth. So he's going to be waiting for us in the air. All right?
Amen.
Said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. So that's the bride. That's us. Okay. The flower appear on the earth. Right now in Israel, it's flowers. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Lots of birdies over there. And the voice of the turtle, these are turtle doves.
Yep.
And it's heard, and it's a specific sound. And the fig tree put forth, and the vine right now are smelling really good. And they're not full of grapes yet, but they're smelling really good. And that's the time of it. That's the good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's us going up. Yep. A lot of people say, oh, Solomon was writing a lot of poetry with love and even some more specific lines there. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. But this one, I'm guessing, it's only me. Don't take me for granted. Go read it for yourself in the King James. But I think that he saw something that looked like a real, really good. I don't know if we can say that, a real, really good, but a prophecy about what's coming up now. Well,
for sure. For sure, Solomon saw something, because when you think about it, when you think about it with the temple being dedicated, Solomon raises his hands and starts praying on behalf of all of Israel. They're at their peak. They're at the top of the food chain on every level, the best that they could be. And Solomon starts praying that when you scatter Israel all over the earth, I'm sure people were looking around going, hang on, time out, Solomon. Time out. What are you talking about? Scattering us all over the place. And when they get, when their armies come in, all this kind of stuff, and when they turn to this temple, this area, remember their prayers. They're at the peak. So they got Solomon. and he's praying a prophetic prayer, and they're probably looking around going, who hired this guy? Like, what's he talking about?
Who hired this guy? That's good.
We got bread. He just gave us bread and wine to take home for our family. And he's like, oh, by the way, when you're scattered all over the world and you turn this way, bring them back. That's the dedication part. Like, he's praying prophetically. So, yeah, for sure, John, he's probably saying something here.
You know, you look at what happened when they finally were led out of Egypt. You know, they had the protection by night and by day, you know, the pillar of fire, you know,
pillars of smoke.
Amen. Yeah, smoke and fire. Mm. And they were, you know, fed manna, and you know, then they got sick of the manna, and he gave them quail, and you know, it seemed like as soon as they got out of Egypt, they started to complain.
Yeah.
After everything they had seen, they had the gall to complain.
Like us.
And, yeah, like us. But Moses kept going to bat for him over and over again, and then he made some mistakes, but you know, they all did.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's the same with us. We're blessed. You know, maybe we don't think we're going to run into any real terribly hard situations or, you know, wherever we're living at this time, but we're not guaranteed that we're not going to go through rough times, but we have an anchor for the soul. See? We have that hope. You know, the word says in Colossians 1:27, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hope of glory.
Yeah. Amen. You know, it's not, he puts that Holy Spirit within. It's a sealed deal, y'all. Yep. It is.
Sealed deal, y'all. Amen. Yeah.
Absolutely. Interesting with Israel, they don't realize how close they were to eternity on Mount Sinai. They don't realize that they're just a few steps away. And then they thought it was a good idea to send out some spies, and they went out, came back with a good report, a bad report, I should say, and that was it. They didn't make it in because of unbelief. And
exactly. You
know, so they saw everything there, but they chose not to. And even though God had like the best dental plan on the planet, took care of their teeth for 40 years. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothing never wore out. My daughter likes that verse because it's she's a dental assistant. So,
nice.
Did you know the Bible talks about dental plans?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
But, the Bible described the cell phone too.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. That was pretty good.
Job 38:35 in the King James.
Yeah, for sure. Guaranteed.
So we got another question here from the Lord. Jesus Christ is God. And they said, what do you think about the V, letter V, created by the October eclipse? V equals the peace sign, and V equals 5, the number of grace.
I don't know.
Anyone?
I'm not sure what you mean. Like, are you talking about this?
Yeah.
Like V. Like, I've seen personally, I've noticed there's a lot of predictive programming around the V or the number 5. There was a movie called V for Vendetta. There was an old show, an old science fiction show called V, and it was about aliens that came and they were cannibal aliens.
Lizard people, yeah.
Lizard people, yeah. Which is, hey, lizard people, another Draco. That's another huge thing amongst the conspiratorial side of things. And then we also have what I noticed one time. Well, I didn't notice it. I believe the Holy Spirit prompted me about this because I was studying and I was looking at the V, and a lot of album covers for different artists had that V. Oh, yeah. And then the New Age called it. It was the symbolism of the new age, or the fifth age coming in.
Age of Aquarius. And,
The Age of Aquarius. And so when I was looking at all that, I remember I was like, Lord, what does all this mean? Why are they trying to use this V title? And something that was prompted, and I'm putting it on the screen, blew my mind, because I realized that the fifth age is the iron, feet of iron and clay mixture. That is the, I believe that fifth age, this is my personal belief. I'm not going to say it's the panel or it doesn't represent uptime, but my personal belief is they realize that this fifth age or the V is the final times on the Babylonian statue, which represents that overall picture of the timeline before God brings judgment and establishes his kingdom.
Yeah. Mixing clay and iron together. That almost sounds a little bit like tampering with DNA and all that crazy stuff.
Oh, that's all with robots and stuff like this. That's what you do when you now they got the chip and everything. That's metal. That's stuff. That's mixing iron with
clay.
Clay is us because we were built from dust.
Yep.
And that's it. That's how it is.
Very interesting, isn't it?
Oh yes, you gotta read. Just study.
study
right? If you don't know, ask questions, and it's okay to go to different YouTube, but be careful to the doctrine matter, not doctrine.
Amen.
Doctrine, no s matter.
Yeah, doctrine,
yes.
Amen.
Absolutely. You have another question?
Yep. Let's see, we have Nikki 777, and guys, keep putting questions in the comments. But we have Nikki 777. I like that. It says, how long do you think the time gap will be from rapture to tribulation?
Seconds.
It's going to be such a chaos. Like, as soon as we go, they're going to have to come up with their thing. Oh, the UFOs took them. But it's going to be such a chaos because all the children, even those in the womb, before the age of accountability, will be taken out and everything. So it's going to be chaos on the earth. It's going to be so ugly right there. That's why they're going to need the man that's going to bring the peace in the world. And that's all. So if you read 2 Thessalonians 2:3, you can have a good example of that. It goes there. It explains it. But that's where we are right now. If you can pinpoint somewhere in the Bible where we are right now, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. We are the falling away. That's where we are right now. There's a coma right after that. I believe that's me only strongly. That is the rapture. And then the man of sin be revealed. So that's what it's going to be. It's very important. Yes, there you go. So that's very important. So that quote, because if you read the King James, all the punctuations, all the capitalizations is very important. A small S and a big S on spirit.
Yeah.
Small S is for your spirit or some other bad spirit. The uppercase is for the Holy Ghost. All the colons, the semicolons, a comma like this is half of a period in time-wise when you speak. That's what it is. There is a semicolon there. It keeps going at the end of that. That I can pinpoint this as our rightly dividing time right now where we are sitting.
Yeah. I have a little theory on that. Maybe I could toss out to you guys and you guys could shoot it down or whatever. Mm-hmm. In regards to falling away, I came across a verse where the story, basically King David was actually with the Philistines and he was about to go into battle with the Philistines. And some of the men, the head leaders of the Philistines said, this guy's not coming with us. He's not going to come with us because what could happen in battle is he could fall away and go back to Israel. So the falling away to me could mean switching loyalties. So great falling away could be people leading to the Antichrist, like in flows, like in flocks, just tons of people falling away, switching loyalty. Like they were here, but now they're switching loyalty. It's just interesting play on words where they were worried that David was going to fall away to prove himself to King Saul. And they didn't want that. They were worried that that's what was going to happen to them. Just throwing that out there. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Well, what I think, it says falling away first. That's what we're living right now. it makes sense. The only thing I know, no, falling away is not the rapture. Okay. That's what it is.
I do not.
Right.
Okay. That's not the rapture.
Right.
Yeah. I don't subscribe to that.
If you go to the strong link, if you start looking into the Webster 1828, this is a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation.
No, that's this a is falling sounding, away. Yeah. This sounds bad. I would guess falling away.
Yes, so that's why physically I suggested falling away first. Like loyalty. People will depart from the faith, even those that are saved. They're still saved, but they're going to walk away, or they will, what's the word for that? Fall back, backslide. Backslide, stuff like this. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Right now, if you try to bring the gospel to people in the world, you get slip-slap in the face, rocks thrown at you, and people are falling away. They don't want to hear anything about this.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's what it is.
That's where the pinpoint is right now. That's where we are.
They want to hang on to this world just a little bit longer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the answer of the gap time is no. There will be no gap.
Where's your hourglass, Michael? What'd you do with it?
See, no gap. There's no time. That right there is visual aid to allow you to understand. there's no gap.
It's like when you hear the gospel, there's no gray zone. Either you go with the Lord. That's why there's a sword with double-edged sword. Either it's going to cut you from the marrow and you will be going to hell. Either it's going to keep you with the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. There's no gray zone. There's no in-between time. It's either black or white. It's either smoking or non-smoking for your eternity.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's
real. Sorry, I was
The red
excited when I bring the word of God.
Amen.
The red heifer one is kind of it's an interesting question. Is the one heifer that remains perfect? Like for me, it's still like I still can't fully wrap my head around the idea of the heifer, because I know in Leviticus it talks about the priests are to sacrifice the red heifer and then basically disintegrate the whole red heifer outside the camp and bring back the ashes, and the ashes go into the water, and then they purify them. They purify themselves with the ashes of the red heifer. So how that ties in with what they're doing right now, I don't know which one's pure, which one isn't, and why the significance. Like, there's not a lot of verses about the red heifers in the Old Testament other than the ritual ceremony about the purification, if you will, water of separation, if you will. So I don't know unless you guys know more than that.
No, I think that's great.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, the effort, there was at the beginning, there was 7 effort, I think. But anyway, they dismiss a few of them. Right now there is 4, but 3 of them have been qualified, not good enough. Yes, so the one effort that remains is perfect according to them. It would be ready to do that.
Yeah.
All right. We got one from Jesus Freak, LeClaus. And we have the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Is this a prophetic sign that America is about to fall?
That's an accident. That's a sad accident, because there were workers on there. There's still 8 missing, I think. And unfortunately, there was cars and a truck and everything. And that's what it is.
Yeah, you can symbolize a lot of stuff. But I think we have to be careful on some things.
Yeah, we can't look at every single thing. And signs were for the Jews, right? Not for the Gentile. We see everything and take everything by faith.
Yes.
But that, I mean, it is an interesting question, interesting notion.
Yeah, for
we
sure.
We have reached our 2-hour mark. And again, I absolutely enjoyed being here tonight. So excited that the panel of guys, extraordinary gentlemen, my cadre to my left and my right that's been here tonight with me. Thank you to all of you out there in the audience, because without you, we're just 4 guys in a virtual room. Yeah. Talking to ourselves. So
you Hollywood Squares time,
Community Church. Yes. So thank you so much for being here. Does any of you guys have any final remarks or anything you want to close with?
Just read a ton, and then read some more of the Bible. King James Bible. Read a lot. Read a lot. Read so much to your eyes just bulge out of your head, and then read some more.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm just
thankful for you guys that
yes.
take the time to do this, and yes. Also for Greg and his family and Bob and his wife and boys. I hope they're having a good time wherever they are.
Yeah.
Sure. And for Kevin, too.
All right.
All right, you guys. So I'm gonna take off now. Shane, have a good one. John, I'll talk to you very soon.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I love you guys. I love all of you all out there. And have a good night.
Yes.